Hi, this is Kathleen.
And Eric.
Welcome to ThriftyCast episode number 76.
And what did we decide to call this one?
Did we? Oh, yeah. There are many different
1970s. Yeah. So we'll talk about that.
It's metaphysical.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hi.
Hi.
We spent today thrifting. So I'm a little tired. Eric is perkier than I am right now. We had a good day.
Even though it's 10 p.m., I would love to have a pot of coffee going right now, but I thought better of it, and I'm going to be a grown-up and not drink coffee at 10 p.m.
No, he's just going to drink iced tea with caffeine in it.
I mean, comparatively.
Is it so much less?
And the thing is, I drink so much coffee that anything, you know, everybody talks about, like, you know, caffeine and soda.
Yeah, soda,
And I don't. That is completely undetectable in my system.
Oh, see, I notice it.
Oh, I notice no difference whatsoever.
Well, we're both having iced tea, different kinds, which is weird.
But, I mean, this is, this is middle-aged midnight right now.
This
it's
is.
After 10.
This is. It's amazing we're awake.
Mm-hmm. So, thrifting, how many did we hit today?
Four. It feels like more.
Feels like a lot more.
Well, we covered a lot of ground.
Mm-hmm.
And we took kind of a break in the middle. We went to three. We came back to my place. We did a few things. And then we ended up going for a long drive, which was not intentionally the thrift, but we did go to one more thrift.
So,
which was a dud.
I would absolutely call
the last one.
Last thrift store a dud. The first three were in the city, and I felt like those were really good, and
yes.
Then we went to the far suburbs, far west suburbs, to hit a Salvation Army store where I had good luck once, and I keep holding out hope.
And when you say that way, like you had good luck once,
yeah.
And now years later, you're still, like, that feels kind of silly.
Well, I mean, you get superstitious.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
And I remember the stuff that I got there. I mean,
that jacket.
Yeah, it was. That
was weird to say.
I know that was my find of the week. I can tell you when that good day was if we were to look back at the notes, because that black jacket, I love that black jacket. Still do. Although I've replaced it with a black jacket I like better. So, you know, we move on. But I always love having the basic black jacket.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that is super great. But I that was a find of the week that I got there. There was a bunch of other stuff too, and I don't even remember now what it was, but it felt like a great thrifting day.
Yes, the first time we went. I agree.
And so I just hold out hope.
Yeah, live in hope.
Yeah, but even in spite of, I mean, that's a long drive to be disappointed.
It is. We did have dinner and we did some other things.
Yeah. I mean, we could have gone to the Denny's anywhere, though. Like, because that's, like, for all of you listening at home.
We ate at Denny's.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, country slam. You know,
this is a very geriatric night we're describing.
I'm not sure, but it was daylight when we had dinner for sure.
It was getting darker. It was past 5.
Okay, that feels like a young people dinner time.
Anyway.
I do have to say that I wasn't terribly comfortable driving after it got dark out. So I'm really like, I don't know. Just getting older.
Yeah. So, find of the week?
Oh, yeah. You go first.
Really? Because I don't have one yet.
Oh, do you want to do that thing like when you order in a restaurant, like you don't know what you want, so you ask everybody else to order?
Yes, okay, but you tell the server that you're ready.
Yes, yeah.
You're like, oh yeah, we'll order.
Don't,
you go.
Yeah, don't go anywhere. Yeah, everybody order.
What's hard about this is Eric had said we should try to really not go with our standards for find of the week.
Oh, and I'm sticking to that.
Yeah.
I
thought about it a lot since you said it. The difficult thing is you buy what you like.
Sure, of course.
So I tend to buy a lot of those things and I'm not supposed to make my find of the week.
Well, I mean, we're not, you know, there's no boss here, right? Like, you can...
Are we sure? I mean, sometimes...
let's just enjoy our freedom here in America.
Sometimes Bossy the Cow, I feel like... I was just thinking, like, oh, it's hard because... What else do I buy? But yeah, you go. I think I have one now. Okay. I think I talked my way into one.
Mine is very unlike things that I normally like. It is, and I still don't know about all of its mysteries. Actually, I'm gonna do two, and both of them are very unlike.
Wow, two.
The first is an as seen on TV egg maker. So you can make eggs that go on breakfast sandwiches like you would get at, say, like a sausage McMuffin with egg, like that kind of egg, which I would describe as over hard because, you know, you crack it and the yolk's hard. I have no idea how it works. I haven't opened the package yet, but I'm thrilled because we have hens laying at home and we are drowning in eggs right now. I have 5 dozen eggs in the refrigerator, so I've got to start getting really creative.
Did he bring me any eggs? No.
I totally forgot. Well, you're coming up next weekend.
Hopefully,
Spoiler alert. So, I'm happy to load you down with whatever we've got then. We've pickled eggs. There was an attempt to make mayonnaise that did not go well. we're just trying to find different uses for eggs. But I think that's actually my favorite way of having eggs in a breakfast sandwich. So that just has a lot of practical use. The other thing I have completely forgotten in the time I'm so excited about all the eggs.
This has been our whole visit. Oh my God, don't let me forget to tell you about. And then 5 minutes later, I have no idea what I wanted to tell you about.
We may need to just call this the geriatric episode.
God, we might need to.
Yeah, we're not.
I still remember the one that I came up with, though.
Please do.
So I found this at the Goodwill in Evanston sometime in the last week or so. It is a glass ice bucket. It's a pail. It's like a little glass pail with like the detailing sort of like I don't know what that word is when it's faux wood. Like
laminate?
No, when they do the painting on, it's like faux bois, B-O-I-S. You know what I mean?
I think bois means wood in French.
Okay, then that would be faux bois.
I think that's it, false wood.
Yeah, so it's not painted like that, but the design is to make it look like wood. It's glass. It's made by Anchor Hocking because I looked it up. It's older. And it has a hammered aluminum kind of handle. Mm. And it's just a little ice bucket. It doesn't have a lid. It's not supposed to have a lid. It's freaking adorable.
It's cute.
No chips. It's just really cute. And I wasn't thinking like, wow, I need an ice bucket that looks like a little glass pail. But I'm pretty happy with it. It was less than $3. And yeah, that was kind of delightful.
What's great about it, it's one of those things that can be used for anything.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember what my second one
was. Oh, good. I'm so glad.
It's a chia pet in the shape of one of the Golden Girls' heads.
Speaking of kind of as seen on TV.
Yeah, it's Sophia from the Golden Girls. It was ridiculously cheap and in perfect shape and less than a buck. I don't necessarily know that I want Sophia's head out with grass growing on it.
The seed packet, unopened, still inside.
Yeah, the odds that's...
I found this. I think this was a good find today.
I do need to give credit where credit is due. That was absolutely you. So sorry, that was my second. It's that thing where if you just wait long enough, it comes back to you.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep.
So those were our finds of the week. And I've been thrifting a lot lately. Eric sort of saw my kitchen. I mean, there is stuff all over the counters that I need to figure out where it's going.
It's cool. It's great stuff.
It's good stuff. Yeah. And that's what's been hard.
Uh-huh.
Because I go and then it's like, damn, there's good stuff. And it's not expensive.
And I'm not going to leave this behind, even though right now in this moment, I don't know where it's going to go. Yeah.
I'm not buying crap just to buy crap. Yeah. Most of the time.
Fair enough. Is it okay if I talk about the topic a little bit before we jump into it?
Yes, please.
Okay. The on a related note, kind of where this comes from is that there's this podcast I listen to that I would recommend to anybody. I really like it a lot. It's called Decoder Ring. It's really popular. And it's basically they'll take something usually from pop culture in one way or another and kind of investigate where it comes from or the history of it or just, as they call it, unpack it. So the most recent episode that they came out with was about the mullet, like the haircut, the mullet. And they were saying, interestingly enough, the Oxford English Dictionary doesn't, the first usage of the word mullet to describe that haircut was in 1994. And if you're like the rest of us, you're saying, no way, I remember using that term in the 80s, if you're old enough. But basically what they were saying is that it was part of that decade. But the truth of the matter is a lot of fads and a lot of characteristics that we attribute to a certain decade actually aren't contained between, for example, 1980 and 1989, that it actually, a lot of things start earlier, a lot of things go further. And so this got me started thinking about the 70s and how there are actually many different aspects of the 70s.
Yes.
And when you're thrifting, if you're thrifting stuff that is genuinely 1970s or has a strong 1970s vibe, whatever your aesthetic is, there are actually different dimensions of the 70s or different aspects of the 70s that you might be attracted to or might be shopping for. So I was thinking it would be helpful to kind of organize or delineate, like, which 1970s is your 1970s, if you're into the 70s at all. And the good news is, none of us have to choose just one.
Oh, but, thank goodness.
Yes.
So I'm going to kick off with the bicentennial. 1976 was a huge year for America. If you were alive, you could not escape the bicentennial. It was everywhere. Your clothes were red, white, and blue. My walls, Eric's walls also were red, white, and blue.
Yeah. It's weird that you remember that, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah, because we've talked about it.
Yeah.
I played Betsy Ross in a play at my school. I mean, it just took over everybody's lives for a lot of time. And in sort of celebrating that, there was this aesthetic. It was everything from like sort of old-timey antiques with eagles on them and butter churns and
spinning wheels were weirdly huge.
Yeah, you know, old-timey rocking chairs, fabrics with sort of the 70s colors of like avocado and rust and gold, but again, throwing in like early Americana symbols. And it was a very weird mishmash of, again, what you think of the 70s, some of the other things we'll talk about. And hey, we're 200 years old, which was a strange thing. I have family friends who still have like some remnants of the bicentennial.
I know exactly who you're
there's
talking
about. There's a big
about.
Lamp. There's a couple other pieces. And I mean, I've known them my whole life. So those things have been there since 1976.
Yeah.
And you see them when you thrift. And I have weird nostalgia now for them. Mm-hmm. I don't want to own them. But even though I hated them for so long, now it's like I'm far enough away that I'm feeling nostalgic.
Yeah, you could very easily, I think, put together a bicentennial room.
Easily.
And it doesn't even have to be bicentennial-specific merchandise. Just anything from that era or anything in that same either red, white, and blue color scheme or that rust avocado.
Yeah.
So that's
colonial blue, like a very weird
kind
of. Yeah, it was strange.
Can I jump in?
Yeah, yeah.
So we identified six altogether. The second one, I made sure I got to talk about because this is my jam when it comes to the 70s. There was this thing in the 70s that was kind of natural oriented, more of a John Denver-y kind of quality. But this
know how
is,
I love John Denver.
He's awesome, right? And then the so the things that you would find that go with this are those cork tiles. You would tile an entire wall in cork. It would be macrame, like a macrame plant hangers, maybe with big chunky wooden beads if you're super lucky.
Yeah, what do you mean maybe?
Oh, I love those. And the and this for me is a thrifting holy grail. If I ever find this at a thrift store, I will literally start crying. So like make sure you always have tissues handy. It was a terrarium. It was plastic, but it was set on a white pedestal, and there was like a globe with a clear plastic lid that opened up, like like a astronaut helmet. That I think goes with this. It's just the sunshine on my shoulders, nature, earth tone, like.
Yes, yeah. You would never thrift this, but while you were talking, I was thinking about the wallpaper that would go across an entire wall and would be like autumn trees.
A forest.
Or, yes.
Yes.
My stepdad had that in his apartment.
Oh, that's hot.
Before he and my mom got married.
That, that's with bachelor us. Wallpaper right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was. It was in his kitchen. Yeah. Not kitchen, dining room.
Yeah. You're going to be a chick magnet with that.
Totally.
Star.
He also, because his father distributed magazines, had like a massive set of Playboys.
That sounds right.
Chick Magnet.
That sounds right, yeah.
Okay, so I get disco because I have an affinity for disco. Sometimes you say the 70s and somebody's picturing those terrariums and somebody else is picturing high heel chunky shoes and a white leisure suit. And a K-Tel record.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, disco was not an early 70s thing. It went into the 80s. It's still around today. Never really went away.
Yep.
So, you know, the aesthetic of disco, whether it's the sort of shiny polyester shirts with designs on them. Again, the music. I don't know. What else do you find that's related to disco?
Well, I mean,
some dresses and
right. You mentioned chunky heels.
Yeah.
In terms shoes. In terms of stuff.
Yeah.
That you, like in terms of decor that you would have around. I don't know. Like if you're really into disco, there are tons of books.
So oh God, dance. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, dance.
How to disco dance.
Instructional books. There's you know lots of that kind of stuff that kind of fills that out. But it's basically, like, I think Studio 54, that, like, pre-Club Kid, the thing that would eventually evolve into that Club Kid thing of the late 80s and 90s, where it's sort of like anything goes, like, like I'm Jean Stapleton, I'm Edith Bunker, and I'm still at this bar with this, like, really inappropriately plunging neckline. I don't know. Inappropriate's not fair. Jean Stapleton was amazing, so...
We
all should wear whatever you want.
The
Let's
second,
get that out there.
Sorry. The second thrift store we went to today had hundreds, thousands of albums.
Yeah.
They were three for a dollar, and they were the 70s. So they sort of encompassed this, right? It was like country, disco, old jazz, because that had a weird resurgence. You know, just like a whole mix of things. So
the resurgence that led to Xanadu in the early 80s.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but disco albums, I would say. A lot of K-Tel, a lot of compilations. I bought some.
Yeah.
Anyway, disco.
How could you not?
I know.
So, yeah, and there's a weird, there's a New York-y art connection there, too. So anything kind of Warholian.
Oh, yeah.
I would say would go in that
Yeah, definitely 54. Drugs. Yeah. I mean, if you found any cocaine at your local thrift store.
Freaky paraphernalia that you're not quite sure what it
like
is.
Like a tiny little spoon that you wear around your neck.
That is awful.
well, it's hard to think of disco things.
Yeah, that's true. And another thing is we're talking about this as we were kind of preparing. We were saying that a lot of these really overlap with each other. So it's like a Venn diagram where a lot of these can overlap. And there may even be that one thing in the center where there may be some piece of this that kind of ties all this together. I have no idea what that would be, but...
I just want to be clear. When Eric says preparing, it sort of makes it sound like there were tomes in front of us and there was research.
Yeah, nobody's going to think that.
Oh, good. Yeah, okay, good.
I can't imagine.
We talked for a few minutes before we got our iced tea.
Right. So the next one we have, this is number four. I just called it Owls and Mushrooms. The name says it all. You know, there were certain things that people were very popular, certain items that were very popular. You know, you all, I'm sure, can picture that canister set that has the mushrooms on them.
Yeah.
Some people love that. It's not everybody's bag. I don't have any of that stuff in my house, but I love it and would love to see it in other people's. I love owls.
Yeah,
I love owls. Those 70s representations of owls. But that, for whatever reason, there was a suburban housewife obsession with very, very particular things. Like, I had... In the late 70s, I had a friend down the street, and I was born in 1970, so I was probably, you know, 8 or 9 at the time. But it was this friend and her mom, and I'm putting this in air quotes, like collected owls.
Mm-hmm.
And there were like macrame ones, which is where the overlap comes in. There were just all these different owls. And I remember we would like sit in the kitchen and just count owls. And it was into the dozens.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So sometimes they had sort of a psychedelic vibe. Sometimes they were just kind of earthy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a thing, and it's definitely its own aesthetic. And if you're looking to collect something, if you're that person and the 70s is your bag, this might be a good route. So.
Oh, yeah. That's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
All right. Then there's the... Little House on the Prairie, which, again, kind of overlap with the Bicentennial. I know different time periods, but a hearkening back to the founding of America.
Pioneer days.
Yeah. And I don't know when Little House on the Prairie actually debuted on TV. See, now that's planning that could have done.
We should have researched that. I'm going to make an educated guess. I'm going to say 75.
Oh, I was going to say 78.
Oh.
You're probably right. I'm bad at that. So I mean, that show, like, long skirts, kind of the floral prints. Eric said bonnets. I don't think a lot of people actually wore bonnets.
Holly Hobby fits in this.
Yes, Holly Hobby does fit in this.
And she wore a bonnet.
In fact,
she wore a bonnet so consistently, you never knew what the girl looked like, yeah. Right?
Yes, that's true. But that whole aesthetic, and could probably throw some like country music in there. If we had to find a place for country music. I've been trying to think about where it would go.
A friend I had in high school had a picture of himself with his family, and it was his mom, his dad, his sister, and him. And it was taken in the 70s, perhaps the early 80s. But his mom and sister were wearing these matching skirts that it sort of made to look like a quilt.
Oh, yeah.
But like really vivid, but kind of 70s colors.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely coming to mind right now.
Yep, the quilted skirt.
Yeah. I mean, there was... like, people really dug a Little House on the Prairie. Butter churns. It didn't have the patriotic flair. It was just more nostalgic. But they're absolutely, you're right. I think there is a lot of overlap with this. So. Ready?
I'm ready to move on.
Okay. The sixth and final one that we kind of came up with, it's this thing that's hard to quantify. From where I sit, we saved the best for last. I love the terrarium part of this, but there is a part of the 70s that I you know, our friend Dan,
who will never listen to this podcast.
Yeah, so we can say whatever we want. But he and I think, actually kind of jointly coined the term. But there's,
you did, yeah.
There's the aesthetic. And it's hard to explain, but it's kind of a science fiction aesthetic, but it's what they thought the future was going to look like mm-hmm. in 1972. Mm-hmm. The very best place to see this is on the show Space 1999. It's a lot of white with pops of bright colors. It's a lot of molded plastic furniture. It's a lot of surfaces, like white surfaces. It's clean.
It's kind of the terrarium.
Yeah, the terrarium would absolutely fit in both like of those worlds. Yeah. Yeah. That in some ways that astronaut head TV
oh, yeah.
would fit in there. There was this game we would play where we'd be like, wait, is that the aesthetic? Or is, you know,
mm-hmm. I always think of jumpsuits
yeah.
as being really the aesthetic.
Yeah.
Obviously, you could go really wrong with a jumpsuit, but yeah. in general, a jumpsuit is the aesthetic.
And to really take that over the top, if you have a jumpsuit that perhaps is white, but there's a colored stripe.
Yes.
That, you know, in a weird kind of way, those ski sweaters that would have yes. rainbow stripes kind of just down the sleeves, mm-hmm. that's actually a little bit the aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of IKEA stuff, especially even stuff you see now that's reminiscent mm-hmm. of the 70s, which I'm going to lump in there, that minimalist 1970s, again, sculpted plastic, mm-hmm. you know, all that kind of stuff, that's that aspect of the 70s is amazing. If somebody's ever able to put together a room like that, they have my deepest admiration.
And Eric wants to see not just pictures. He wants like a video walkthrough
oh, yeah.
of that room.
And I want permission to just film a movie there. I think that would be
just in that room.
Yeah. Or one act play maybe. but I love that look. Like, again, I love that natural side of the 70s, but there's something about the way that Space 1999 looks.
Mm-hmm.
There was another show, the creators of Space 1999, who were British, I think,
mm-hmm.
did another show called UFO.
Oh.
And it was also science fiction-y,
mm-hmm.
but they had this, it was this underground sort of, I think, government-sanctioned society that dealt with extraterrestrials,
mm-hmm.
and they had this literally underground lair. I think you had to take an elevator down to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
But they would go down, and it would be these giant computer banks with tape reels. They had a shade of green
mm-hmm.
that I paused the TV. I took a picture. I tried to
color match.
Yes, I tried to use the Sherwin-Williams app to color match it. It's kind of a billiard table green.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, I was like, oh, I you know, I'm not having much luck with this. I'm going to go. 3 minutes later, there was an orange. I had to do the exact same thing. I'm like, it was kind of a sunset orange, kind of tomato-y. Yeah, I'm getting too excited. I need to calm down. So, what 70s is your 70s? Are you a person who doesn't like the 70s at all?
I was going to say, if you care about the 70s.
Yeah. There are some people, and I think it's actually people in our age group, people who were born in the 70s, and were kind of immersed in that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot about the 70s where any kind of henchman on a cop show, where they're wearing the polyester suits mm-hmm. with the super thick polyester ties, and the hair that's like way too long,
mm-hmm.
but or not long enough, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
I think that's so ugly.
Oh, yeah.
I think that is so displeasing to the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has everything to do with when I was born.
Yes.
And so you might be in that same boat. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff about the 70s. I will never say no to a mushroom latch hook kit.
That's true.
Yeah.
You got a latch hook kit. Today, it was not mushrooms.
Yeah.
That would have been your find of the week if you'd gotten a mushroom latch kit today, right?
Over and over and over, it would have been my find of the week.
I can appreciate a lot of the things we've talked about for nostalgic reasons. Mm-hmm. I don't want them in my home. I don't. Well, no. I mean, they're not my thing. Yeah. I mean, I think they're neat because I vaguely remember them or I remember them a lot. But I mean, I would never want a set of mushroom canisters in my kitchen. Mm-hmm. Just not me.
Yep. Well, especially the mushroom canisters that we're all picturing when we think of as mushroom canisters.
Yeah.
Because they have that gold. It's gold. You know.
Orange.
Well, no, the big four. You know, the big four. Mm-hmm. Harvest gold, sunset orange, mm-hmm. avocado green, mm-hmm. and brown. Like that mm-hmm. was the, at least one aspect of the 70s that mm-hmm. was it. So yeah, I mean I'm with you in a lot of ways. If I mm-hmm. thought I could pull off the aesthetic, mm-hmm. the futuristic thing,
yeah.
I would absolutely do it. First of all, it would never work in my house.
No, if you had an A-frame though.
Oh yeah, yes.
A-frames.
Yeah.
Fit in the aesthetic.
Oh yeah. Oh, and also the nature aesthetic.
Yes.
Like a cork wall in an A-frame would be mind-blowing.
Ooh, I like the crossover. Like, I like playing the game of where things cross over.
Yeah.
Okay, now my dog is just about to knock things over in her attempt to get to toys. She napped through the whole thing until the end.
Probably a sign we should stop.
It's a sign we should stop.
Yep. So we'd love to hear from you. Yep. What's your 70s? Or is 70s just not your bag?
Mm-hmm.
You can find us by looking up ThriftyCast on Facebook.
And on Instagram, it's I Love Thrifting?
Correct.
Sorry.
And love is L-U-V.
U-B.
Yeah.
And L-U-V is all you need.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.